Some years ago, I went with my family on an activity holiday to Slovenia. Kayaking, pony trekking, canoeing, white water rafting, and caving. And one very sunny afternoon, we were taken up by our guides into the mountains in Slovenia. And there we entered the mountains through what was a very small entrance, like a secret doorway. We had hard hats on, headlights were turned on, and we began to walk into the mountain through a system of caves. As we went deeper, the darkness faded. The moisture went up and it became damp, and almost you could feel the weight of the mountain pressing down upon you. And suddenly this small corridor opened up into an enormous cavern, almost as high as this abbey. But also it went equally as far down, and we stood on what felt like a very narrow footpath, looking down into the blackness. And in a sense, the cavern portrayed in a different way the beauty of the stone that we see this afternoon around us. Well, our guide asked us then to turn our headlamps off. I suspect very rarely do we find ourselves in absolute darkness in our modern world. But for that brief moment, we were in absolute darkness. And I was suddenly aware of how disorientating darkness is. That great cavern that fell away below us felt very close. I lost my balance. And actually the overwhelming emotion I had was fear. And then just one lamp turned on, changed everything. It reorientated me. The fear was gone. As the school plans to break up today for half-term holiday, we are beginning the season of deep shadows. The clocks go back. The sun is becoming increasingly short-lived in our skies. Storm clouds come. Last week it was Ophelia, this week it's Brian. One wintry front on top of another. It is a season of the year when light is scarce, and shadows and darkness reign. And shadows, we recognise them in our own lives and in the life of our world. We have come to face shadows throughout this last year. The terrorist attacks in France, here in London, Manchester, and across the world. And maybe you've experienced shadows in your own lives. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, in an Advent message to the church in the province of South Africa at the height of apartheid, talked about how it was precisely in the darkness, where it looked as if there was no way forward, and that light came in, the light of the world came into the world, the light which enlightens everybody, and it came into a world that was not ideal. Christ came into the world, which was full of war and rife. There was injustice into a people who were suffering pain and poverty. But the light that shines in the darkness, and that light will shine, and the darkness will not overcome it. I have been fortunate enough to visit the Holy Land on two occasions, and I visited both Israeli and Palestinian communities. Last year, I was there with a group from Devon. And whilst we were there, there was an account of a shooting of a 13-year-old girl. The girl had tried to stab a soldier. It occurred at the entry point to a West Bank settlement. The following day, there was a stabbing of a pregnant woman. And in the Holy Land, young people to continue to throw stones, others shoot bullets, and the mothers of Israeli and Palestinian children cry and weep over their graves. And when I was in Jerusalem and on the West Bank, I was very conscious of the tensions that existed. There were empty tear gas canisters often seen on the street. There were signs that warned us not to enter Palestinian areas because they were dangerous for Israelis. But in the midst of those deep shadows, I saw individual lights shining. At the Jil Al-Amal School, a home for some of the most disadvantaged boys in Bethany, lives were being transformed. Homes were being provided, education was being given, and many of the boys went on to have successful lives. We travelled to Tabeth, a Christian village on the West Bank, and spent time with Father Rayad, a Roman Catholic priest, who talked about economic austerity caused by the lack of work and housing. Father Rayad told us about how, because of the poverty, people paid their school fees in olives. Now, there's an idea. But Father Rayad found an olive press, and he began to press the olives and market the olive oil, which is now sold in French supermarkets and on the internet. The light of hope. And when we came to Bethlehem, we sat in the shadow of the wall and sipped tea with a peace project. The wall is 430 miles long. It's 26 foot high. It's more than four times the length of the Berlin Wall was. But there we sipped tea together, and we heard how the Centre for Reconciliation was restoring lives, bringing transformation both for the Israelis and the Palestinians. And the leader of the peace project spoke about how, rather than cursing the darkness, we should light light. The charity that today we are going to support, The Sounds of Palestine, was started in 2012 in the kindergartens of two refugee camps in Bethlehem. They now work with hundreds of children to provide safe spaces, allowing children to express themselves, to provide a place where they can be who they are, both for Palestinians and Israeli. In the midst of the darkness, light shines. As young women at Queen Anne's School, you should not underestimate your possibilities and your potential to become the women that you want to be. Within this abbey this afternoon, there are the leaders of our future. But know that the real gift that you have to give this world is not the salaries that you will earn, is not the seniority of your office. The real gift that you have to give the world is how you choose to act. To act with compassion, with justice, to speak out against discrimination and racism will bring light to this world. Within each one of you, you have the potential to overcome the darkness of this world and to fill it with light. Our reading from Proverbs challenges us to see that the real treasure of this world is not silver or gold or bright, sparkly jewels. It is wisdom. Wisdom to know how to act. Wisdom to use and apply the knowledge and intellect that you have and are being given, all of which can change the world. Not just strong women, but compassionate women. Mahatma Gandhi famously talked about how we need to be the change that we wish to see in this world. We hold the potential to create a world in which there is generosity and compassion and justice. We need to know that it's not often big things that make a difference. It is the small things. The way in which we welcome the stranger. The way in which we care for that person who is different to us. The way in which we feed the hungry. The way in which we forgive. The way in which we love those that are not just like us, but those that are different, even our enemies. They aren't the big things. They are often the smallest things which make the difference in our world. Desmond Tutu once said, "Do your little bit of good where you are. It is the little bits of good that put together will overwhelm the world." If each one of us light a candle in the darkness, with quietness and with strength, we can dispel the shadows of this world.